looks good. Always bring your Bible. Amen. I know we put the scriptures up on the screen, but we don't want to spoil you that way. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came already. Hallelujah. Well, I want to share with you for a few minutes from the Word of God this morning. I want to talk about living life in the faith zone, not in the safe zone. Living life in the faith zone, not in the safe zone. Turn over to Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 3. Hallelujah. You know, it's always easier to play it safe. You know, don't take any risk. Let's don't get out there on a limb because, you know, the limb will probably get sawed off. Let's don't get out on the water because we're probably going to sink. Let's don't take any risk out there. And so we go through life as Christians, as believers, in the safe zone. And you know, the safe zone is kind of like vanilla ice cream. It's okay. It's not bad. I mean, it's got a sweet taste to it. But you know, I've noticed most of the time, you know, if you're in an ice cream, shop or something like that, you know, if people, even if they do get vanilla ice cream, have you ever noticed they usually put something on it? They usually got chocolate on it or put some sprinkles on it or do something, don't they? Because vanilla's nice, but it's just kind of safe. And you know, the Christian life, God did not make the believer, the Christian life, to play it in the safe zone. Now, I know we do our best to keep ourselves there. And sometimes we want to put one foot in the safe zone and one foot in the faith zone. And you know, boy, I'm telling you what. You know, if you get your legs too far apart, you know what happens? You lose your balance, don't you? And we fall over. So I want to talk about it. You know, because I'm human just like you. And sometimes my mind gets to thinking, hey, we better play it safe here. You better not talk too big. You better not brag too big. You better not make all these big statements about what all God's going to do and what God can do and that Jesus is the same and that God's going to give you victory and that you're going to reap the harvest and you're going to see breakthrough and all these things in your life. Better keep it quiet. Don't say too much. Judges 3. I want to talk to you about a well-known person called Shamgar. I can tell by your expression you've all heard of Shamgar. Well, he's in the Bible. Shamgar. You might want to name your firstborn child Shamgar, right, after this. Maybe not. All right. Judges 3:31. After Eud, see, Shamgar's better than Eud, isn't it? After Eud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Now he was a judge and a deliverer in Israel, yet most of us have never heard of old Shamgar, the goat herder. He was a goat herder. The most unlikeliest deliverer, the most unlikely person to lead Israel and to bring a victory. Here he was, just an old goat herder. I mean, my goodness, a goat herder. I mean, in that day, he was on probably the bottom of the social pecking order, the goat herder. And yet notice this goat herder, it says that he faced impossible odds. Now you think about it. The first thing he had to face as an impossible odd was just his own self-image. And you know, most of the time, the things that keeps us out of the faith zone, a lot of times is we start looking at ourselves. Well, I mean, my goodness, yeah, I mean, I can understand now. If Gary said that he was going to get victory and God was going to do this for him and that, I mean, yeah, I could understand that. Or if Grace Ann was going to do it, but I mean, man, I mean, for me to say that God's going to do that for me? I mean, you just don't know who I am. I'm just a goat herder. I'm a nobody. I mean, you got to remember who I am. I mean, I feel like I'm always in the struggle. I'm the least of the least. I'm just an old goat herder. One of the first things that can keep us from moving out of the safe zone into the faith zone is because of our own self-image. And yet we need to understand this. God doesn't use you because you are or are not a goat herder. He uses whoever is available. Well, I'm available. I might not be the smartest. Well, let me rephrase it. I'm not the smartest person. I'm not the strongest person. I'm not the, you know, this or that or the other. But you know what? I am willing. I think one of the reasons, you know, people marvel and say, why in the world would God use somebody like you? I said, the only thing I can figure out is I was willing. I was willing. I'm willing. And here we got old Shamgar the goat herder. And here he is on the backside of nowhere. I want you to turn over to, you're right there, Judges 5. Let's read another verse here. Verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, there he is again, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned, travelers took to winding paths, village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose. Now notice this, before Deborah, now most of us probably have heard of Deborah, because she was a prophetess and a judge of Israel. But here is old Shamgar. Before Deborah was raised up, Shamgar stood in the gap. The goat herder, Shamgar, he stood in the gap. And it said that things had gotten so bad that people couldn't even travel on the main roads. In other words, they were shut down. The Philistine, the enemy, occupied the main roads. And people were having to take the footpaths. And they were having to sneak around. And everybody was living in fear. And you know, when we live in the safe zone, I can guarantee you this. You will, sooner or later, stay in that place because of fear. Fear will keep you from stepping out in the path of faith. It will keep you from stepping out on the promises of God. It will keep you from fulfilling and responding to the call and the purpose of God in your life. And you will eventually, fear will convince you that this is really what God, all that God called you to do. This is all the Christian life really is about. It's just to be a nice, sweet little person, stay out of trouble, and play it safe. I want to be known as dangerous. Come on, men, let's face it. What kind of movies you watch? Romantic love stories. Come on. Listen, God made us, men. He made us to be dangerous. Come on. Somebody, you know, You ever wonder why men don't want to come to church? Because all they hear is, be nice. Be nice, man. And then, you know, we go home and watch guys crack heads on the football field. We're like, yeah, why they got... Come on, you men, y'all trying to... Oh. Listen, I want the devil to see me as dangerous. I want to live a dangerous life. Bless God, I'm going to get out there. If God didn't come through, we've had it. Notice, this guy, the one thing Shamgar had is listen, with an ox goad, he killed 600 Philistines. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us whether he killed them all at one time or if he killed them, you know, at different times. But I'm telling you what, this guy had a rep. You know, we might not know who old Shamgar is and we laugh at that, but I'm telling you, in his day, old Shamgar was dangerous. I guarantee you, the Philistines knew old Shamgar's name. They said, buddy, you better watch out, man. Watch out for that crazy goat herder. Because I'm telling you what, he'll come out of nowhere, and I'm telling you, you've had it. Would to God that we had a reputation like that. Would to God that we had a dangerous reputation, and the enemies that have come against our life and the devil that comes against us said, you better watch out for old Dwayne there. I'm telling you what, that goat herder, man, I'm telling you, he knows how to use it. Amen. Hey, listen, he didn't have a bazooka. He didn't have a machine gun. He didn't have an M1. He wasn't trained as a warrior. He wasn't, you know, the generals. He was just a goat herder. And I think that he just looked around and he saw the situation. He saw the desperation of Israel and the people of God. And he said, look, this is not right. And I, for one, as a goat herder, I'm going to do something about it. And isn't it interesting, And I believe this, that Shamgar opened the way for God to raise up Deborah. I believe he began to stir something up in Israel. He said, bless God, I'm telling you what, if the natural leaders are not going to do something, if the other people are not going to do something, bless God, just wait and let the goat herder get something stirred up. Why you got to wait for the pastor or the deacon or somebody else? Bless God, God can use you. You stir something up here. Amen. You get that goat prod out you got. Amen. Begin to work it. I want to share you three things. See, living in the faith zone means what? You're going to face some big odds. 1 to 600. A goat herder facing all these people. No sword, no battle axe, nothing. Just you know, that old goat prod he used. It's probably just a sharpened stick. But I'm telling you what. He got out there and did something with what he had. And this is the three things I want to share with you to help you to get out of the safe zone and into the faith zone that old Shamgar did. And that was one of the things as he started where he was. You know, he didn't jump up and said, you know what, I think what I need to do before I can do anything here? I need to go off and find out where Joshua and them got that military school. And I'm going to go to military school and I'm going to learn how to use a sword. And I'm going to learn how to use a spear. And when I get proficient enough, then I'm going to do something. He said, no, bless God, I'm going to take what I've got. He started where he was. I may just be a farmer, a goat herder, but bless God, this is not the way God said it was supposed to be. And I, for one, going to take what I've got and I'm going to do something with it. You know, you've got more going for you than you know. You think about it. You're a child of God. The Spirit of God, the greater one's living in you. You know the Word of God. You've got the Word of God in you. Amen? You think about it. Two words. Now, we talk about being word people. Two words released created the universe. Two words. God said, light be. That's all he said. He didn't. Speak, 26 volumes. He said, light be. Think about the Word of God. Think about what you know from the Bible. Think about how powerful the Word of God in you is. How powerful the Spirit of God is in you. That you are called by the name of God. You are called and anointed. You can take what you know and you can begin to make a difference in lives all around you. Listen. Don't wait to say, when I know a little more, when things get better, when I get my life in order, when everything's... Listen, I got news for you. You're never going to get out of the safe zone into the faith zone, because I'm going to tell you what, there are not very many people I've ever met that had it all together. I mean, look at the people Jesus picked, the 12 disciples. What a bunch of people. You know, if we were talking today, the world would say, what a bunch of losers. That's what they would have said. I mean, here's Peter. His business is on the fritz. It is. He was washing his nets. He said, Lord, we've been fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. Well, listen, for a commercial fisherman, he was in an economic downturn when Jesus found him. Isn't that right? He didn't know a whole lot. He wasn't an apostle yet. He didn't know all this. He wasn't even sure who Jesus was yet. And yet, as soon as he responded in faith to Jesus, he had two boatloads. No wonder he was, just a side note, no wonder he was able to go follow Jesus. What? He had plenty of money in his bank account. You don't eat two boatloads of fish. They didn't have refrigeration. He didn't stick all them two boatloads of fish in his refrigerator. No, sir. He sold them things. He had the money for his family, so when he went out following Jesus, they were taken care of. Listen, God doesn't overlook a detail. He doesn't overlook a detail. You know why it was? Because Peter got out of the safe zone into the faith zone. He started where he was. And old Shamgar, he just started where he was. He said, bless God, I'm telling you what, nobody else is going to do anything about it. I am. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get going. You know, from a circumstance viewpoint, there will never be an opportune time for you. there will always be something not just right. It may be in a relationship, it may be in your finance, it may be in your health, it may be in something else, it may be in the things you don't have any control on, in the economy, in the nation, all that. And you know what? We can look at those things and we look at that, and you know what? God never asked us to obey when it's only opportune. You think about it. If you really think about it, a lot of times when Jesus asked people to obey, it was at the most inopportune time, wasn't it? He told Abraham at 75, leave everything you know and go to a land that I will show you. Didn't he? He told Peter, he said, get out of the boat. He didn't do it on a calm, sunny day. The waves were rolling, the wind was blowing, it was storming, the waves were crashing across the boat. And he said, now get out and walk. You see, too often in the modern Christian church, we're waiting for everything to get just right. You know why? We've been conditioned by the safe zone. We've been conditioned to think, let's play it safe. You know what? We've even been conditioned by the safe zone to think that failure is a bad thing. Hello? Besides Jesus, name me anybody else that's never failed. Can you think of anybody in history, Christian or not? Doesn't matter, male or female, anybody. But yet we've got this stigma somehow has gotten into the church. Oh, if I step out of the safe zone into the faith zone and I endeavor to step out of the boat and walk on the water, if I sink or something, boy, we know what's going to happen. Everybody in the boat's going to throw rocks at us. They ain't going to throw a life vest. They're going to throw rocks. Ah, you got out of the boat. Look at you sinking. Look what happened to you. Well, bless God. I mean, at least they got out of the boat. If they get out of the boat, somebody says, well, what if they get out of the boat and they start to sink? Throw them a life vest. Not a cinder block. Help them. I remember years ago, Brother Kenneth Copeland was talking about when he first was starting in ministry, and Brother Jerry Savelle was working with and helping him then, and he was very young, and Brother Jerry came to him one day and said, well, the Lord told me to strike out on my own. And Brother Copeland said, the first thing I thought was, dear God. God, don't he know? God, he said, I went and talked to God. I said, God, he's going to get out there. He can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. God, he's going to get out there and fail. He's going to get out there and ain't going to be able to pay his bills. And he was going all this in prayer to God. And God says, well, if he does, you help him. I shut that up. Why don't we listen, we see somebody that has dared to step out of the safe zone into the faith zone, somebody that has dared, like old Shamgar, to take up the goat and say, bless God, if nobody else is going into battle, I am. Why don't we encourage them instead of discouraging? Why don't we do everything we can to help them instead of, you know, pointing out where, well, why didn't you do this better? You know, I always told people this, until you can do what I do better, then why should you criticize? Isn't that right? When you do it and do it better, then you can give some critique. But if you're jockeying around in the boat, and all you want to do, you know, and I, you know, it's like I told you last week, I shared with that missionary that came through. I said, you know, you'll never find a critic out on the water. All the critics are in the boat. They can tell you how you ought to have done it. You know, I've never been anybody yet that had never pastored, but they can sure tell me how to do it. Amen. They are experts, even though they've never done it. I don't know how you get to be an expert at something you've never done. Listen, move out of the safe zone into the faith zone. Start where you are. Start where you are. I mean, you know, that's obvious, isn't it? I mean, where else are you going to start? Isn't that right? Start where you are. Listen, nothing happens until you do something. You think about it. I believe old Shamgar stirred things up. Next thing you know, God done raised up a Deborah. But I'm telling you what, you know what? It may be that, you know, what God's waiting. See, some of you maybe say, well, man, I'm telling you, I'm waiting for something to happen here at Grace. I'm waiting for God to break through, break out, break over, whatever the term is. I'm waiting for. Listen, he may be waiting for you. You may be the Shamgar here. You may be the Shamgar. You may be the one that said, bless God, I'm telling you what, nobody else is going to. I'm going to. I'm going to pray. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to begin to share the gospel. I'm going to begin to lay hands on the sick. I'm going to begin to do something with what I know. It means being ready to act when God speaks something. Amen? Listen, every big thing starts with something small. You know, a redwood tree, you know, they got redwood trees out in California, out there. You know, you can drive a car through. I mean, they've carved out tunnels. You can drive. They got two lanes that run through those. That's a big tree. A big tree. A couple of 300 feet tall. Very old. You know, you look at those huge trees, and you'd look at that thing and you'd think, wow, man, I wonder how big the seed was that thing come from. But they had to haul that in on a big old pickup truck. No, you know, the seed, you could put it in your hand. I said you could put the seed in your hand. Everything, this is the way God's designed it. Everything starts with a seed. It starts with something small. Starts with something small. To step out, see, a lot of times the reason things that keep us in the safe zone is we're waiting to do something big. Well, I'm just waiting for some big thing to... No, listen. Do something small. Take the small seed that you have. Take what you have. Take the abilities. Take the faith. Take what God's given you and begin to make a difference with it. Amen. You know, Shamgar, he just picked up that old goat prod, you know, and said, I'm going to do something with it. I mean, it wasn't inlaid with gold. It wasn't anything fancy. It was just something every day that he used, he was familiar with. It was something, you know, you wouldn't think to use as a weapon. But he said, I got this, I can do something with this, and I'm going to go do something. So every big thing starts with something small. Have this mindset, and I think Shamgar had this. He said, I'm going to tell you what. Other people can do what they want to, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to occupy my field. Let me ask you this. Are you occupying your field or are you just laying down in your field? Occupy means to guard, to watch, to cultivate, to do whatever it takes in my life, in my family. Start there. Do something there. Get off of passivity. Begin to rise up and say, I'm going to tell you what. It doesn't matter. Listen, I promise you this. If you sink, we're going to help you up. If you fall down, we're going to help you up. We're going to dust you off. We're going to encourage you. And if I find out anybody is giving you a hard time criticizing, they're going to deal with me. But I'll tell you this. Listen, the rest of us that are out there endeavoring to walk on the water, and we've got up a few times and had to dust ourselves off, we're not going to criticize you. We're not going to beat you down. We're going to be there to help you. We're going to tell you, look, it doesn't matter. You can make it. You can make it. Somebody asked John Maxwell, said, how did you get to be such a success? He said it was a road of failure. Stop being afraid of failure. Are you listening? The second thing is, he started where he was, and I already mentioned it. He used what he had. Listen to this. Excuses are our weaknesses talking. Excuses are our weaknesses talking. You ever had an excuse for not doing something? We've been there, haven't we? An excuse is just our weaknesses. We're looking at our inabilities. We're looking at where I'm weak. And so because of that, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to mess it up. So it's easier for me to make an excuse and stay in the safe zone. It's because what? My weaknesses are talking. But listen, faith is God's strength talking. Faith, remember we're talking about getting out of the safe zone into the faith zone. What has God spoke to you about? What has he spoke to you about concerning your life, concerning his purpose, concerning his plan, concerning his promises, the abilities he's given you? Listen, what are you doing with them? I encourage you today, rise up and begin to go after it. Begin to use what you have. Start where you are, but use what you have. Don't allow excuses to keep you in a place of safety, a place of non-risk. Because I'm going to tell you this, where there is no risk, there is no gain. And if there is no gain, I want to tell you there is no growth. And if there is no growth, pretty soon Christianity will be dull, lifeless, and boring. Come on. That's part of our problem in the church. We have made Christianity boring. I mean, you know, what is Christianity? Come and be good and be nice. I mean, that's the power of the gospel. Most guys hear that and they think, forget that. Listen, remember Jesus when he was in the temple? He got mad. He was turning over those money tables. Listen, he was dangerous. Jesus was dangerous. I got news for you. God's dangerous. He's dangerous. The Bible talks about him being an awesome God. You know, we've got this idea that, you know, and when you see the pictures of Jesus, it's always a picture of a sweet little nice guy. Got a little lamb on his shoulder. Well, that really appeals to the guys. Listen, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a lion. Not just a lamb, he's a lion. Amen? Listen, we need to rise up and say, bless God, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to start taking some risks, Gary. I'm going to start reaching out. I'm going to start stretching my faith. I'm going to start believing God to do something. Remember old Peter? Man, he sunk, but you know what? He also got to walk, didn't he? He didn't swim back to the boat. Turn over to Romans 4. Just a moment. We've got to hurry along because we've got to do the Lord's, our covenant meal this morning. Romans 4. I want to live outside the safe zone. I want to move into the faith zone. Look at here. Romans 4. We're going to begin reading at verse 19. This is Abraham, the father of faith. Without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. It was credited to him as righteousness. Actually, if you put that up on the, can you put that up on the King James there, guys? Oh, you got it up there. Therefore, it was imputed to him. Yeah, leave it there. Imputed to him for righteousness. That literally, where it says imputed to him for righteousness, means this. It means that he was given faith equity. Faith equity was imputed to him. Faith equity. Now, here's the thing. Most of the thing, you know, when you go to buy a house or something, okay, and you put a down payment on that thing, or in the process of time, as you make payments in that thing, you build up something, don't you? You build up something called equity, doesn't it? Isn't that right? And see, our problem is sometimes is we don't realize how much equity that we have through our faith with God. If you step out in faith, if you will move out of the safe zone into the faith zone, you know what you're going to find out? That just like Abraham, how did Abraham receive his son? By faith equity. It wasn't by works. It wasn't because he was smart. It wasn't because of anything else. It was by the equity of faith. He believed God. Therefore, it was laid up to him as equity on his account. God looked at that faith equity and said, that's it. That's sufficient. He's righteous. Give him the boy. And the same thing is true with you and I. When we begin to step out in faith, you know what? God looks at our faith. He looks at our actions. He says, I see Rick's faith. You see that? Give him what he wants. Give him what he's believing for. Bring forth the purpose. Bring forth the plan. Bring it forth. There's a faith equity. That's what happened with Abraham. He went through the process. He stepped out. He left the land. He walked with God. He believed God. He didn't do it perfectly, but he kept getting up. And Abraham kept believing God, and he kept getting up. And in spite of his failures, and in spite of different things, he kept believing God. And one day, he kept looking to God. He kept expecting to God. He refused to live it in the safe zone. He stayed out in the faith zone. And God looked and said, okay, his faith equity is built up. Give him the boy. Give him the promise. Give him the miracle. You won't listen. As far as we know, nobody left back in Ur had that kind of miracle. Are you listening? Listen. The way to abundance is through adversity. There is no promised land without the wilderness. Come on. There is no supernatural anointing without the wilderness. Amen. John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul, they all had their wilderness they went through. They believed God in the face of adversity, in the face of everything. So here's the thing. Don't listen to the voice of your weaknesses, because it will make an excuse for you and say, hey, you can't do it. Oh, other people can do it, but you can't do it. She can do it, but you can't do it. They can do it, but you can't do it. And then the third thing, the last thing, he did what he could do. So let me ask you this, what can you do? And you, as you look around the circumstance, the landscape of your life, what is it that you can do? What is it that you can do in faith? What is it that you can do? What's the next step? You know, I'm pretty sure of this. Old Shamgar, when he went out to face those Philistines, I just don't think he went out like this saying, well, honey, I reckon I'm going to go on out, and all I got is this old goat prod here, and I'm probably going to get killed, and I won't be back, but, you know, I'll do the best I can, and if you don't see me, well. Listen. But, you know, many times, that's what we call faith. That's not faith. I mean, you might as well stay in the safe zone. And here's the thing. Don't be in the safe zone and try to fight a faith in the faith zone. Because you're going to get your head handed to you. Don't go out there with the attitude of a safe zone person. Well, you know, I don't know if it's going to work or not. I'm going to try. Well, we'll see what we can do. Listen, you're going to be the first casualty. I remember this playing football years ago. They always used to, coaches always tell you this, the guy standing around is going to get hurt. Playing football, man, you slow down for a minute playing football out on that field and you kind of slow down or you stand, somebody's going to come along and going to clean your clock. Buddy, you stay in motion till the play's over. Isn't that right? Uh-oh. She stood all she stood, and she can't stand no more.
That brought to mind something very vivid in my mind. When I was in high school, I was in ski club in New York. And I was at the top of the Elysian Fields at Greek Peak. And my friends daredeviled me to go down it, which I had never done. It was like, you know, the diamond, you know, and I was like a beginner. So I got up to the top, and they were all waiting down there at the bottom for me. And it was a sheet of ice. And it was moguls, you know, moguls, you know, the bumps, you know, sheet of ice. So I was playing safe, okay? And I was skiing this way to the edge and then stopping and skiing this way, you know, kind of like horizontally like this, you know? But one of those times, I hit a patch of ice, and I started going down. And I wasn't just going down. I was going poof, poof, like this, you know, just over one bump after another. And there was this lady standing there in the middle of the ski slope. What she was standing there for, I have no idea. But I got to tell you something. I was dangerous. I was on my way down, and there was nothing that was going to stop me, and she was in the way. And so anyway, that was my little illustration. Ow. There. But and there was something else I was going to tell you too. What was it? You know, whatever you do, the Bible says, you got to do it in faith. Because what's not of faith is sin. So like that illustration he was telling you, you know, if you're going to do something, don't say, well, I guess I'll do it. You know, I may not make it. That person's not in faith. You know, so, well, maybe, you know, this is a risk for you. Maybe you're not 100% about it, you know, but don't let your words line up with doubt. Let your words line up with faith and proclaim the goodness of God and the favor of God in your situation and your willingness to do this for God. And God will be with you every step of the way. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The girl can preach, can't she? We have to get her up here. Let her do it. So what can you do for the next step? Now, first thing you do is pray. Then listen to God. Then obey wherever the opportunity presents itself. Now listen, remember we said, don't wait for all your circumstances to be perfect. See, we're waiting, you know, this is not a rocket launch we're doing here. This is a faith launch. You know, a rocket launch, they have to wait, make sure the window is just right. You know, the weather's got to be just right. The conditions have got to be just right. Depending on the type of launch they're making, they got to make sure everything's lined up just right. Listen, when you launch out in faith, it's when God says the timing's right. Don't look at the clouds. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't look at all the other stuff. Don't listen to your fears. When God says it's time to launch, then launch. I remember Brother Osteen. Joel Osteen's dad, he used to say this. He said, do something lest you do nothing. James 2:17 says this, faith without works is D-O-A, dead on arrival, dead. Faith without works. Do something lest you do nothing. So he started where he was. He used what he had. And then he did what he could. Now let me ask you, is that a picture in your life? Are you doing those three things? As simple as they are, if you will do those three things, it will cause you to move from the safe zone into the faith zone in areas of your life. And listen, that's where it's exciting. That's where it's thrilling. I get absolutely bored to tears with routine. Lord, something happened somewhere. Somebody scream, shout, holler, jump, wiggle, do something different. Move a foot you didn't move before. Do something different. I'm tired of this thing. Everything predictable. Everything, man, you're putting me to sleep. I guarantee you, when you went with Jesus, it might have been a lot of things happening, but I guarantee you one thing, it wasn't predictable and you didn't go to sleep. Isn't that right? And so let's get out of that old safe zone thinking. Man, listen, the faith zone, the risk zone, that's where the miracle zone is. That's where the breakthrough zone is. That's where God begins to use you to make a difference in other people's lives. And listen, if we're not going to make a difference, listen, is life, is all this about is I'm going to pay 40 years of bills and then die? That's it? Good God. That's it? That's your aspiration. Pay the bills. Good Lord, mercy. What's happened to us? We become vanilla. Get some sprinkles. Put some chocolate. Do something. Isn't that right? Let me mention two more points real quick. Then we're going to do the Lord's. Listen. Break out of that thing. It can get on you before you want. You know it. So what if you fall down? Listen, at least it'll be a change of pace. I stubbed my toe. Well, at least I know I'm still alive. I felt something. It's on.
I sat down and I realized I didn't tell you the whole story.
After you hit her.
Well, yeah. Anyway, you know, here I was, and I was going, you know, I was zigzagging down the ski slope, you know, and I would stop after each. It was like, you know, this and like this. But you know what? That was boring. That was boring, you know.
You've been safe.
And it wasn't fun until I hit that patch of ice and started going out with her. Here's this lady. I was telling you about the lady. It was an elderly lady. Don't know what she was doing there. And I was like, get out of the way, because you know I wasn't doing this or anything. I was just going straight down, pum, 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 like this. And that lady just, you know, in horror, looked at me like, ah, like that. It was like a comic thing, you know, like something you see on cartoons or something. And bam, I plowed right into her. I plowed right into the poor lady, knocked her out cold. The ski patrol had to come, carry her out on a stretcher. I know I'm laughing. It's really terrible. I'm laughing. But my friends are cracking up at the bottom of the hill. Anyway, she came to about 3 minutes later before they took her off, and she started, oh, she was so mad at me. It's like, what are you doing? You know, and I was like, you know, and I think my skis broke too in the meantime, and I had to walk down the ski slope in failure, you know, at the bottom. But anyway, I had to tell you, I did hit the lady, and I'm very sorry that I did that, but I was dangerous.
Be nice.
But it was fun.
Be nice. Don't be dangerous. Be nice. Be safe. I guarantee you the adrenaline was pumping too, wasn't it? You know, we share these humorous things, but you know, here's the thing. It's so easy to get caught into a routine, into the mundane, into the vanilla, into the safe zone. And we play everything safe. And we get to the end of our days and all, you know, what do we got? You know, somebody looks at our tombstone and all they see is a dash there. Is that all your life's going to be, is a dash? I mean, it wasn't enough happening to really put anything else there. Or this is what they're going to put on your tombstone. He was nice. Again, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with being nice, but my goodness. Jesus said, we're salt. He said, you're light. He said, you're violent. You're a soldier. You're a warrior. He said, you're to rise up and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We're to do something that's more than just coming to church and being nice. No wonder we're not changing the world. Being nice is not going to get their attention. Get dangerous. Whew. Man, they see you climbing out of the boat. They say, man, I'm telling you what, this guy's crazy, isn't he? Wonder what that crazy guy's got. Why do people go out to see John the Baptist? Because he was so eloquent? He was nice. Woo, you read John the Baptist's sermons over there, boy, he won't nice. You bunch of hypocrites and vipers, who warned you to come out here and escape the judgment? And then he flicked up. Grasshopper out of his teeth. But you know what? It said what? Everybody was going out to him. Because God didn't call him to be nice. He called him to bring a message. He called him to shake up his generation. He called him to make a difference. He called him to go out and proclaim whatnot. Listen, there's lots of other people that can be nice and have the nice message. You and I need to be dangerous. Dangerous to who? Dangerous to the devil. Dangerous to the works of God. Dangerous to all the people who are going through their nice little lives out there. Afraid like you have been because what? They're staying in the safe zone. Two things real quick. Don't be surprised at opposition when you step out. Remember what I said? The way to abundance is always through adversity. Most of Israel's battles were in the promised land, not in the wilderness. See, many of us as Christians, we're in the wilderness and we think that's the Christian life. No, that's not. You're not even in battles. The wilderness is your own flesh, your own attitudes, your own disobedience, all that stuff that you're dealing with. That's the wilderness. That you're not in a battle with the devil yet. We think that's the battle. No, it's not the battle. That's your wilderness. Cross on over into the promised land. When you get out of the safe zone into the faith zone, then you'll have some battles. You'll have some adversity, but you'll have victory too. You'll be dangerous. You'll be like Shamgar. Woo, here comes Shamgar. Lordy, that boy carries a mean ox goad. I'm going to tell you what. You see, you laugh. I'll tell you what, you're going to remember old Shamgar, won't you? And then lastly, listen, when you step out, God will connect with your faith and give you victory. God will connect with your faith and give you victory. He's waiting for you to take up the ox goad. He's waiting for for you to take up the jawbone of the ass. He's waiting for you to make a step forward toward the enemy's camp. He's waiting for you to rise up and say, bless God, enough is enough. I don't care what anybody else is going to do. I'm going to occupy my field. I'm going to occupy this place. I'm going to move forward in the things of God. I am not going to stay in the safe zone in my Christian life. Some of you need a heavy inoculation of radical in you. Amen. We need to inoculate you with some free radicals. Not the bad kind, the good kind. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you are too docile, too tame. What are y'all laughing about? I ain't calling any names. You know, hey, listen. Listen, don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about us being mean. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, listen, there, people get around me. Listen, I don't want them to, well, I didn't know they was a Christian. I knew they was nice. Where's it say, you know, that by me being nice, people are going to get saved? Where's it say that? There are people that are, I've been around some nice people that didn't even know the Lord. I've been around some nice people who were atheists. They were nice people, though. Considerate and nice and courteous and thoughtful. It was nice being around them. Not saying that. But listen, we got to be more than just nice. We got to break out of that thing and say, listen, you know what? I want some adventure. I want some excitement. I want to see some miracles. I want to see God working in my life. I'm going to get out on the limb. Bless God. God, you're going to have to do something here. I'm gonna be radical. I'm gonna get in the faith zone. Because that is where the miracles are. People always ask me, how come we hear about miracles on the foreign field so much? I'm gonna tell you, for one thing is they get out of the safe zone. Right out of the safe zone. You know. We did that here in church. Oh man, 17 ushers would be on you. Ooh, let's get rid of him. It's true. They worship with abandon. They pray with a passion. They throw themselves completely over on God. No plan B. And they said, man, God, you said it. Bless God, here I go. Here I go. How many believe God said what he meant what he said? Isn't that enough? Then step out and say, what if I fail? Well, what if you do? At least you have something to talk about. I mean, nothing else since I come here. Y'all have had something to talk about. Made your life more interesting. If I hadn't done anything else, I've done that. Hallelujah. It's something. Isn't that right? Listen. What am I saying? I'm being funny, but listen, seriously. Let's break out of that confine. That life and even religiosity wants to squeeze us into it and say, bless God, I'm getting out of that thing. Let's break out of the platitudes into the faith zone. Amen. That is where life is good and exciting and fun. You know, how many people have you talked to who just, you know, when, how many, give me just a few more minutes. Okay. When you're little, we had kids, when our kids were little and everything, we took them to the doctor and they had their immunizations. And you know what usually what they do with that immunization is whether, whatever it is, you know, is they will inject you with the inactive or the dead, virus. It's dead. But what it does is it inoculates you just enough so that what? Something alive can't live in you. Isn't that right? Did I explain that good enough for everybody to understand? Okay. Well, see, what happens is religion is that way. Religion is dead. And there's a lot of people that have been inoculated with the dead, and so it makes them immune to anything alive. And so when somebody alive, Christianity comes along, people think, oh, you're extreme, you're wild, you're out there. Yeah. Jesus is out there. Out there with the hurting and the broken and the downtrodden and the discouraged and the fearful. And if all I can bring is niceness, then I have nothing. You know, we have to be careful in the church. Yes, we want to be empathetic. We want to be sympathetic. We want to embrace people that way, sure. But I'm telling you, sometimes we've got to be dangerous. Sometimes we've got to be getting people's face and tell them the truth. When nobody else will, we will. I'll be truthful. I'll be honest with you. I'll do it in love, but I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you got to be shook up. Sometimes your world's got to be turned upside down. Sometimes for the what? Because if it's not, you will stay right where you are. Playing it safe. Oh, no risk. Let's don't take any risk. I might fail. Golly. You know, that's like always living in a place where it's twilight. It's never really dark, but you never know the sunlight either. You just stay in the twilight. We're playing it safe. Because if I try to step out in the light, I may miss it. Lesson. God's bigger than you're missing it. Amen. We're going to, before we close, we're going to have our covenant meal together now. Listen, as we take this meal, I want to tie this in. Listen, Jesus didn't play it safe. He didn't play it safe. He could have. He could have just stayed up in heaven and had warm feelings toward us. Hello? And just had all kind of empathy toward us and sympathy for us and felt all kind of emotions for us and everything else and how bad it was and how terrible it was. And he could have talked it over with the Father and all the angels, and they could have hashed and rehashed and you know, and baked the hash and ate the hash and everything else about how bad it was. But he said, I'm not going to play it safe. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something. I'm going to get down there in the muck and the mire. I'm going to get down there where they're at. I'm going to get down there where they're hurting. I'm going to get down and feel their pain. I'm going to identify with them. I'm not going to play it safe. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do something. And so he took upon himself flesh and he came. And he walked among us. And he revealed the heart of the Father. He revealed it like no other. He said, you want to know what the Father's about? Look at me. You want to know what the Father wants for you? Look at what I do. And Jesus went about, he went about healing, lifting, helping, delivering, working miracles, encouraging. And he was dangerous. Dangerous to the devil. Dangerous to the religious. Whew, I'm telling you, you got around Jesus, something always was happening. Amen. I don't know where we get this nice guy stuff. I mean, stuff was always happening. Devils were screaming, coming out of people. I mean, this big cloud of dust was being kicked up by the thousands of people following him. People were jostling and fighting, trying to get to him and touch him. People were crying out to him in the middle of his meeting, Jesus, heal me now. Oh, you're out of order. Something was always happening, wasn't it? But we in the church, the modern church, we reduced it to vanilla. Let's just, you know, I was telling somebody the other day. I said, you know, we need to be like the old mule that fell in the farmer's well. You ever heard the story? The old mule, somehow he managed to fall into this old dry well on the farm there. And he's down there a number of feet. And the farmer sees him down there and the farmer says, there ain't no way I can get him out. I can't get him out. So the farmer, after thinking and thinking about it, just came to the conclusion, well, all I can do is bury him. So he starts shoveling dirt over into the well on the mule. Going to bury the mule. What else can I do? He's shoveling the dirt. And that mule starts feeling all that dirt hit him. And the thought hits that mule, dear God, he's going to bury me alive. And so he finally the old mule gets this idea. He had a brainstorm. He said, you know what? He said, I'm just going to shake it off and step on it. And every time that farmer shovels some dirt down there, he'd shake it off and he'd step on it. And you know, after a while, he just stepped right out of it. Some of y'all need to shake it off and step on it. Isn't that right? I don't know what that has to do with what I was preaching, but it sure felt good. Maybe that's a word for you. Listen. But Jesus came for that. What? But Jesus was dangerous. And ultimately, he proved how dangerous he was when he went to Calvary. Because at Calvary, it says that he stripped principalities and powers. He destroyed their authority. He destroyed their power once and for all. And as we celebrate this covenant meal, we are celebrating the fact not only of what he did, but the fact that Jesus is dangerous. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. God is a warrior. He is a mighty warrior. And he's living in you. And he didn't come just to make you nice. He came to make you dangerous to the devil. Dangerous to the works of darkness. He came to make you so dangerous that you could set people free and lift them up. I want the men, if they will, to go ahead and come. Let's prepare for the Lord's table real quickly.